Blog Talk Radio. coming on stage.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Ace of Cups radio show. I am your host, Rabina Rastaban, a.k.a. The Realist Astrologer. And that intro song is called Money by Pink Floyd. And I chose that song because tonight's show is about Uranus and Taurus. And as we all know, Taurus rules money. So this is going to be a very short show because I have plans tonight. My sister is actually in town. So we're going to go out to dinner, have a little fun and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to it because I usually don't go out. I'm a homebody. I'm usually chained to my computer because I'm always working. So I'm really looking forward to this. So this episode will probably only be about an hour long. Actually, if she happens to get here, because she's out right now, if she happens to get here before an hour is up, I might even end the show at that time because I haven't eaten all day and I'm hungry and I'm ready to go. All right, so before I get into the main topic of tonight's show, I'm going to just discuss some current events. So, like I said, my sister is in town, and I knew she was coming for, I knew she was coming like a month or two in advance. So, but you know, a lot of times, I know me as an astrologer, I don't always be checking my transits and like really planning my life per transit, especially like major transits. Like I might know that it's coming, but I won't really give it much thought until it's actually either on that day or right around. So the day that my sister arrived here, and she flew in from Philly because she lives right outside of Philly, the day my sister arrived here, I noticed that Jupiter was right on my north node. My north node's in Scorpio, of course, and my north node's in my 10th house. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, there go, you know, that's my sister's visit because my sister's a Scorpio. I posted about this in my Real Talk Astrology group. So anyway, she's been here since Thursday evening, and it's really been good having her here, not just to get that sisterly love and to reconnect and all that stuff, because I rarely get a chance to see my family. I only really get to see them maybe once a year, if even that, because I live all the way in Arizona, and my family, they're all on the East Coast still. So, you know, I really appreciate when my family members come out here to visit, or, you know, I will travel back east and things like that. So it's not, like I said, it's not just about her being here as a sister. My sister is a really good motivator. She's a Scorpio, and, you know, Scorpios are great motivators. So she's a life coach. She's also a personal trainer. She's a nutritionist, fitness expert, all that stuff. Like, she does a lot. And sometimes I really wonder, like, if she is not even fully human, the way she just keeps going and going and going. But that is so Scorpio. Like, Scorpio just can keep going, and Scorpio goes the extra mile and all that stuff. So she's been doing the business coaching thing with me, and I've really been appreciating that because, like I said, Scorpio is a really good motivator, so she's really been motivating me to evolve, and that's very much my north node in Scorpio. But in particular, evolve in terms of my business, and my north node's in the 10th house. So she was just giving me some tips and ideas over the past couple of days, especially this morning. She sat down and she was really, you know, helping me to sort out things and helping me to create time savers and things like that. So she came up with some good ideas. But at one point, I was like feeling a lot of pressure from her, which is so Scorpio. And I'm used to this dealing with her because, you know, I grew up with her. So when she wants you to do something or she's trying to encourage you, like, she will come at you, like, really strong. And that's how she was with me. So I had to tell her, like, hold up, I'm not even there yet. Like, just give me a minute. And she was, because basically she was talking about, you need to triple your income at this point. And I'm like, triple? Like, I'm, like, already getting overwhelmed. I'm trying to just keep my head above water right now because, like, I'm constantly, you know, trying to manage time and things like that. So she was like, okay, you're not there yet. But basically, to make the long story short, she has taken me on as one of her clients. And because this new phase of her business is new, I'm coming on board as I'm basically getting her services free of charge. So I'm, like, really appreciating that. And she's really going to help to keep me on my toes because I definitely need that. So my north node in Scorpio definitely deals with my sister's influence in my life, but it deals with other things as well. And like I said, it's my mission to keep on evolving in my business, in my profession. So she's definitely helping me do that. And I've already implemented some of the tips that she's given me already. So I'm already seeing a major difference. And that speaks of Jupiter being on my north node right now. So I just wanted to put that out there. Shout out to my sister because she is doing the damn thing. Like, she's a straight up boss. She's always making major moves. She's always transforming her life for the better. And I'm just really amazed by her, not just her, but my other two sisters as well. Like, all four of us, like, we're just very much go-getters, and we're very much motivated to succeed, and we don't take no for an answer, and we don't let the obstacles in life get us down or keep us down. So I'm, like, really excited that she's here, and I'm looking forward to her getting back here. She actually came out here because she had to attend a conference that's taking place in Sedona, Arizona. So this was her first time going to Sedona. So she, you know, really liked the red rock scenery and all that stuff. So this has been a real treat. Now, another current event, Chiron is now in Aries. So it seemed like as soon as Chiron entered Aries, because Chiron is currently in my second house, I did feel a little shift in terms of the way I manage my money and the way I deal with money situations. And I started to notice that I'm becoming more assertive. That's a good word to use. I'm becoming more assertive, and I was talking to my sister about one of my issues where I have this thing with time. And, like, if somebody orders a 30-minute reading, they might get 15 minutes, 20 minutes out of me for free because that's just how I am. I'm, like, super generous. But I noticed that, number one, that's a time stealer because it's taken away from things that I need to be doing, and it's a money stealer. Like, I like being generous, but sometimes, you know, I can be generous to a fault. Now, I do have clients that if they go over the time, you know, they don't have no problem giving me the extra money. Like, I had a client yesterday. She went over the time. And then when I say over the time, it's always my fault because I'm in control. But she sent me, you know, she made a donation this morning to make up for that time. But I will have other clients where, you know, it's like, hey, if she's willing to give me this extra time, you know, it's all good. I'm not paying for it. So I was talking to my sister about that, and she was like, oh, she gave me a great tip. So I'm going to utilize this tip going forward, because I was like, yeah, because the thing is, I don't mind giving people extra time for free, but then it gets to a point where if it gets over a certain time, then I'm like, I start to really, you know, become, I get down with myself, or what's the word? You know, I don't feel good about myself because I start to feel like, okay, you're lacking discipline. You're not, you know, doing things in a structured manner or whatever like that. And I know a lot of it comes from a fear of not being liked or appreciated or whatever like that. But screw that. I'm like, if somebody purchases a 30-minute reading, 30 minutes is 30 minutes. So, yeah, I'm going to start tightening up my game. And she even suggested that I offer a midpoint reading. Because I offer 30-minute readings. I offer readings in 30-minute increments. So it's 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours. But she was like, well, why don't you offer a 45-minute reading? And that way, you know, you can encourage people to get that reading instead of the 30-minute. Because if you get a 30-minute reading with me, that 30 minutes goes hella fast. And that's probably true with, you know, most people that do readings. That time goes really fast because you're getting a lot of valuable information. And time is relative. Time is basically an illusion because you know that if you're having fun, time's going to go by quickly. But if you're not having a good time, time is just going to drag. So that's how it used to be when I used to be an employee. Time would just drag on and on. But now that I'm self-employed, time just speeds up. And when I'm doing readings, like 30 minutes goes by in like 15 minutes, it seems like. So I just wanted to put that out there about my sister motivating me to institute some business solutions. So as I was saying, Chiron is now in Aries, and it has started to really put some fire under my butt to get more serious about money, about generating more income and all that stuff. And like I said about evolving with my business, I am going to be offering some new services soon, and I plan on creating some webinars so that, you know, up to maybe like 20 people can be in the webinar and they can learn about astrology that way. So just stay tuned for some new things coming from me. And one new thing that I recently embarked upon, this has to do with Chiron and Aries, is that I was in my Real Talk Astrology group for Chiron and Aries. I came up with this idea to create memes, and I did it on a kind of like a whim or a fluke, I guess, because I started off with Chiron and Aries in the first house, and that was going to be the only meme that I did. But then I was like, hold on, I might as well do all 12 houses, because maybe, you know, people who have Chiron transiting a particular house would like to see a meme associated with that house. So I was like, okay, well, let me just do all 12 houses. So now I'm on, I've done 10 so far, so I'm on 11 and 12. And I'm kind of stuck on the idea for house 11, the 11th house. I know what I want to do for the 12th house. So it'll come to me, because when I do these memes, it like has to happen organically, or else it's not going to be funny. It's not going to go over well. So I do pride myself on being kind of like a comic or a comedian. So that's like my comic relief in terms of astrology and stuff. I like creating memes and things like that. So look, actually, I had one of the Real Talk Astrology members, Carrie, he was like, well, you should do a whole and Carrie said, and someone else said, I think it was Jerrica or Jessica, she was like, you should do a whole series. And then I think Carrie was like, yeah, you should do that. So I'm like, yeah, I think I should. Like, basically, they were saying I should do a series whenever, you know, a major transit is on deck. And I was like, that's a good idea. And then I thought about it. I was like, well, if I'm going to start this meme thing, I need to put my little trademark on it or whatever like that, so nobody can steal my shit. Like, because the memes I create for Chiron and Aries, like, it probably will get to the point where they start circulating around the internet, because if you can, you know, if you Google, matter of fact, I'm going to do it now and see if one of the memes come up already. And I have somebody on the line, so I want to thank you for calling in. You called in early, so I really appreciate that, because that lets me know that you're really interested in what I have to say. But I'm going to go to Google search Chiron or Aries, and I want to see if one of my memes comes up already. Because like I said, if I'm going to go forward with these memes, and this again, if this is about Chiron and Aries in my second house, I'm becoming more serious about my shit and becoming more assertive and becoming more self-preservation even, because Chiron's in my second house. So yeah, I'm like, if I'm going to put out these series of memes, I'm going to have to put up my little trademark, watermark on my memes so nobody will take my stuff and claim it as their own. So I'm scrolling. It may not have reached the internet wide yet, but that would be cool if my memes went viral in the astrology circuit, that is. Actually, I'm going to put memes to see if it comes up. I doubt, you know, it's kind of hard to find good astrology memes. And here I am wasting time. It's already 16 minutes after, but I'm going to hurry up. I'm just being curious right now. But yeah, I don't think it's showing up yet. But I know, like, when I'll post stuff on my website or in my YouTube, and if I Google certain things, I'll even find stuff of my stuff on Google Images sometimes, which is really neat, because it kind of lets you know that you've sort of kind of arrived, maybe. All right, so let me get into this main topic. Let me close this out. I got too many windows open. And that's another thing. Chiron in Aries is going to, since it's in my second house, it's going to cause me to stop being such of a pack rat and a hoarder. I already feel it already, because I was like, let me close this window because I have too many open. But usually I'm the type of person that has all these windows open on my computer. So Uranus in Taurus. Uranus will enter Taurus on May 16th, 2018, and it will leave Taurus on July 7th, 2025, and that is approximately 7 years. Now, this year, it's going to go back into Aries for a little bit when it turns retrograde, but then it's going to go back into Taurus. So we could be in for a little bumpy ride since it'll be going between two signs like that. Double check sign, hold on. Now, before, I wrote a blog, and I'm going to read this blog post that I wrote regarding Uranus and Taurus. And I was being very, I'm not going to say I was being negative Actually, it's going to enter, Uranus is going to enter Taurus on May 15th. His website says May 16th, but I think that website's from the UK. So that's probably why. But stateside, United States, Uranus will enter Taurus May 15th at 11:16 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, go back to where I was. So, I just want to play an excerpt from this YouTube video because I was listening to it before this radio show, and it doesn't have to do with Uranus and Taurus per se, but what this guy is saying is kind of how Uranus and Taurus will manifest, and it's already starting to take effect, in my opinion. So, yeah, let me just play this. Now, I don't agree with everything that this guy is saying, but basically he is railing against ultra-left-wing liberals, and he's just talking about how this society is going downhill and things like that. So just this is an excerpt of what he has to say.
And to prove that wrong isn't wrong, to bring about a philosophy, and then you see this in John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagine there's no countries, not imagine great countries, not imagine defeat the Nazis, imagine no religions. And the key line is imagine a time when anything and everything that mankind values is devalued to the point where there's nothing left to kill or die for.
Okay, so I just wanted to play that little excerpt right there because I think that's very to Uranus and Taurus, where it's like everything that is considered normal or status quo is turned on its head. So I'm going to read from this blog post that I wrote. I wrote this last year sometime. And like I said, I was kind of negative in this about my interpretation of how Uranus and Taurus will play out. But I am rather concerned, and I'm a realist. So I'm not going to sugarcoat things and paint this pretty picture of a utopian society that Uranus and Taurus is going to usher in. No, I really don't believe that because you just got to think about history and you got to think about where this country is headed. You got to think about how things are in this current day and time. So just expect more of the same, but even worse, because we're already in the midst of a major paradigm shift in terms of politics, in terms of the government. I mean, think about Donald Trump becoming president. Most people could not, you know, even fathom such a thing. And when he did become president, you know, it was like a culture shock or a major shock to a lot of people because it just didn't fit with the normal paradigm. So let me just read about what I wrote in my blog post. So I titled it Uranus and Taurus, The End of the World as We Know It. And I posted a picture on there that has like these police in riot gear with a car on fire. Now, I wrote, I try not to give into fear by remaining rational and level-headed, but this upcoming ingress of Uranus into Taurus has me very concerned. This is because Taurus represents peace, normalcy, finances, food, nature, values, and standards. Uranus is about upheaval, rebellion, chaos, sudden upsets, destruction, tyranny, sudden change, and perversion. Uranus also deals with groups of people, social causes, and activism. Uranus is considered to be in the fall when in Taurus. A sign that places a planet in the fall is not a healthy placement for it. Now, a little bit about this. Now, some people will say that Uranus in Scorpio is exalted, like Uranus is exalted in Scorpio, and I agree with that. My Uranus is in Scorpio. In particular. However, I've also seen where people have said Uranus in Gemini, Uranus when in Gemini is exalted. Now, I would agree with that too, because that would be like heightened consciousness or super consciousness. That would be like you having that brilliance, you being that genius. So, and that would be really good for technology, especially like computer technology and stuff. So, but Uranus can be considered to be in the fall when in Taurus. So Uranus will first ingress into Taurus on May 15th, 2018. But on here I put May 16th. So again, I must have been going off of this ephemeris that I have that I believe is set to, I think like UK time or whatever like that. So it's going to vary between, you know, where you are in the world. But I did mention that 16 is a day of catastrophe, so I'm curious to see how Uranus will get things started. So whether it's the 15th for some people or the 16th, just know that on the 16th, Uranus will still be at the 0 degree of Taurus. So a major catastrophe could actually happen around that time. Now, I pulled a tarot card to represent the theme of Uranus. This is me reading the blog post. This is what I wrote. So I pulled a tarot card to represent the theme of Uranus and Taurus, and it was the Five of Swords. The Five of Swords is one of the most troublesome cards of the tarot deck. Oh, wow. I got to tell you about this Five of Swords card in a minute because it pertains to me in particular, personally. It is ascribed to Venus in Aquarius, and it denotes conflict, treachery, betrayal, rebellion, uprising, theft, hate, vindictiveness, and artifice. What's interesting and downright spooky is that Venus rules Taurus and Uranus rules Aquarius, so the Five of Swords is on point. It is not a card that is conducive to harmonious relationships and for the well-being of humanity. The Five of Swords only confirms my suspicions about Uranus' entry into the sign of the bull. This card also proves that I am not just paranoid, nor am I giving in to irrational fear. So let me just cut to the chase with some bullet points regarding the possible ways in which Uranus and Taurus will manifest. Rebellion against convention and all that is natural. The abnormal becomes normalized. Chaos replaces order. Upheavals. A major change / shift in global economic conditions for the worse. Economic insecurity. You can also say economic tyranny. I'm getting ahead of myself. The third bullet point is tyranny, especially economic and ecological. A cashless system could be implemented. Money becomes totally electronic. Also think about the cryptocurrency and how that's taken the world by storm. Microchip implants will become more of the norm. Now, the thing about microchip implants, I'm totally against this. I'm like an organic chick. Like, I'm not into all this foreign substances being put in people's bodies, and that includes a bunch of vaccines and all that stuff. So the whole microchip thing, it's totally, like, frightening to me. And it goes back to the Bible and the Mark of the Beast. And I know a lot of you guys already know about this stuff. But don't be surprised if they start really pushing the microchip thing, talking about, oh, it'll save lives because people's medical information will be stored on the chip. Or it'll create more convenience in your life because you don't have to pull out your debit card and stuff like that. But more and more people are going to be more open to receiving microchip implants. And it could start off as a tattoo. You notice that they already have technology, like where they have that thing on your phone where all you have to do is scan it and it can read things. And what else do they have? They already have a lot of technology where it's like, oh, the chip in the cards where you don't even have to swipe your card anymore. You just tap your card, or not even tap it. You just put it over that sensor thing. I even do that. But like I said, that's where I'm like, the whole microchips inside people's bodies, that's crossing a line in terms of in terms of security and privacy, and also just, you know, being human. Now, they broke the ice, or basically you could say this is like a frog in a pot, and where you turn up the heat slowly so the frog doesn't jump out. Now, they use pets as the guinea pig for the microchip implant. And I remember when they first started chipping pets, I couldn't believe so many pet owners were okay with having their pets chipped. But these, you know, people that get their pets chipped, they claim that, you know, their pet is like a member of their family and that, you know, they love these animals and stuff. But I'm like, first of all, not enough research has been done to examine the potential deleterious effects of implantable microchips, number one. Number two, they claim that, oh, it's for if your pet ever got lost or whatever like that. I'm like, come on. So I have a cat and I got him from the shelter, and they had offered him to get chipped, and I was like, no. I was like, I'll take my chances. And my cat runs out whenever he can. He runs out of my house, and he comes right back. So I have the type of cat that's loyal. So I don't have to have any problem with him just running off and being lost. One time he was gone for like 2 weeks, and he came back. So, yeah, but that was the frog in the pot, the microchip in these pets. So humans are going to be next. You guarantee it. It's coming. So, and People in the truth movement have been talking about this for years. You know, certain Christians have been talking about this for years, calling it the mark of the beast. Well, Uranus and Taurus, I believe, is going to usher it in. Also, GMO foods will become even more the norm. And a couple of years ago, they started labeling products, you know, brand name products, saying part made, or they said manufactured with partially genetically engineered. I know some of you guys have seen that. Just look at the back of the Lay's, you know, Lay's potato chips, and you'll see the genetically engineered label or disclaimer on there. So they're paid, you know, they're basically putting it in your face. So if anything goes wrong with our health or whatever, and it's GMO related, they are absolved from being held accountable because now they put the labels on there. So now it's like, okay, well, now you know what you're getting into. So don't, you know, you can't sue us now. So yeah, it's getting real. Also, perversion will reach an all-time high due to the erosions of values and standards. Now, I was thinking about doing this radio show, butt-ass naked, to tell you the truth, just to make a point about Uranus and Taurus and how crazy it can get. No, actually, when I say butt-ass naked, I was going to do it in my towel because I got out the shower before doing this show. So I was like, I should just do it in this towel and make a point about being naked underneath, because Uranus does deal with nakedness. Aquarius deals with nakedness, nudity, and all that stuff. But with Uranus and Taurus, expect to see more public nudity. And you might have some groups really trying to get women to be able to go around topless. I know they passed some law in Canada recently. I think this was like 2 years ago. I don't know how many Canadian women are really down with that, but I think Canadian women legally can now walk around topless. It's always been like that in Europe, like in terms of the beach and stuff. Like if you go to the French Riviera, you know, don't be surprised. You see a lot of boobies just hanging. Same like Brazil, I believe they can walk around topless, whatever. But in America, that's still pretty much frowned upon. And I believe it should be frowned upon because women's breasts are sexual organs. Therefore, feeding babies, but let's be real, over the years, over the centuries, breasts in America and in other cultures have been highly sexualized. It's not like we live in, you know, we're part of some primitive tribe where they've always, you know, been topless and, you know, the breasts aren't really sexualized at that point. But like I said, expect to see more public nudity. Expect to see more forms of indecency. Deviant behavior will become more socially acceptable. So expect to see more public sex acts. People going to be getting their freak on in public and stuff. TV is going to get more raunchy or raunchier. It's going to get really crazy. So just get ready. And also the battle between the sexes will reach an all-time high. That's another prediction I have. And it's already getting really bad with the big MGTOW movement and this extreme feminism and stuff. And then also racial tension will reach a crescendo. A race or civil war is possible. And as you already know, racial tensions are really reaching an all-time high. And then riots and social uprisings will be more common. And also being under total surveillance. So this is like that 1984 book and subsequent film where you are, Big Brother is going to become even more empowered. Also, air travel could be heavily restricted in some areas due to civil unrest or war. People will develop more of a mob mentality. Also, the perversion or devaluation of the arts. You already see this with this so-called hip-hop nowadays with the mumble rappers and shit. It's going to get even worse. And then ugliness will be considered to be beauty. Also, an increase in natural disasters, crazy weather, megastorms, droughts. The weather will become totally manufactured. If you don't believe that the powers that be are controlling the weather, that they're manufacturing the weather, you need to Google geoengineering. You need to Google solar radiation management. You need to Google solar shield. You need to go on Harvard's website. Google David Keith. He's a professor at Harvard. He has come out last year saying that they are going to start spraying the sky to block out the sun to combat global warming. And in my opinion, global warming is a hoax. It's just an excuse for them to start manipulating the weather so that they can start really dismantling society. And basically, if you could control the weather, you could control the world. And I didn't want this show to be so damn serious and sound so morbid, but I'm passionate about this stuff. You know, I got to keep it real. So we are headed for some really strange times, and that's why I call this show Strange Fruit. And Taurus does deal with agriculture. So again, going back to the GMOs, expect to see much more genetically modified foods being pushed onto the public. And also, you know, they might start coming up with some frankenfoods, like weird hybrid fruits and stuff like that. So I won't be surprised if we start seeing that. But also, NASA put out this paper a long time ago called Owning the Weather by 2025. And guess what? Oh, my God. Oh, I'm getting the spirit. I'm a Sagittarius, so sometimes I get the Holy Spirit because I just got the spirit right now. What did I say? I said Uranus will be in Taurus between 2018 and 2025. If you don't believe me about NASA putting out this paper called Owning the Weather by 2025, and you know these people that are ruling the world, they know about astrology and all this stuff. They plan everything according to major transits and stuff. So they are going to take Uranus and Taurus, and they're going to use it to their advantage, and they are going to go full scale with this whole weather modification thing. Trust me, we are going to see storms like you've never seen before. We're going to see droughts like you've never seen before. People, populations might have to be displaced because of crazy weather in areas and things like that. You remember Hurricane Katrina? We ain't seen nothing yet. Like that is probably like a little rainstorm compared to what we're about to face. Now, again, I'll continue with this article. I don't mean to be all gloom and doom, but I am also a realist, and I can't ignore this destructive energy that is imminent. We will need more faith and inner peace than ever to get through these sour times that are on the horizon. On the bright side, enlightenment will increase and people will gain more access to creative powers that are not of this earth. Uranus and Taurus will usher in some state-of-the-art designs that have yet to enter our realm of human experience. There will also be an increase in entrepreneurs as Uranus enters Taurus, since Uranus equals independence. This is also a very good time for astrologers, also metaphysicians in general, since Uranus is the planet that rules astrology, and with Taurus representing money, but also realism, astrology will be given more legitimacy. Taurus also represents advisors, and with Uranus and Taurus, many people will be seeking answers that cannot be satisfied through conventional means. More people will consider becoming an astrologer as a viable career option. So with that being said, that's one of the blessings of Uranus and Taurus, because anybody that's an astrologer right now, and especially if you done paid your dues, if you got years in the game like I do, or even if you're just starting out, let me not just, you know, be totally biased, but especially, you know, some of us that got years in the game that's been doing this for quite a while and that's already, you know, established a following and has established a presence online, this is our time to blow up seriously. Like, we're going to be making some money like we never made before, and I'm already doing pretty good. So when Uranus enters Taurus, oh, yeah, I'm about to come up seriously. And like I said, this will be an incentive to anybody who's considering astrology or maybe tarot, being a numerologist, what have you, as a viable career path, because this is your time to really break into it. And this is also the time where it's time to break the mold. It's time to really do things differently. It's time to really, you know, get that money in alternative ways, because also you're going to see where a lot of jobs that used to be easy to get, they're going to be harder to get because automation. They're going to be instituting that automated technology. In case in point, when I was at Target yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I noticed that there was no cashiers, none. And, you know, if I talk to anybody after this show, or maybe I might open up the phone lines for a little bit, let me know if you noticed this going into Target. It was nothing but the self-checkout lines, and you had a guy, a Target worker, just standing there, you know, helping the people, like, usher them to the next available kiosk that where you could bring up your item. That kind of, like, set me on edge, and I didn't like that. I like that. I like actually getting my stuff checked out by a cashier. I don't like the fact that we, like, cashiers might be phased out totally at some point, and it could happen. It could really start happening big time when Uranus is in Taurus. I know they started doing that in McDonald's, I think, where they have the self-service kiosk checkout thing. But, yeah, that's bad because, you know, people are still going to need those cashier jobs. Not everybody's going to be able to have a high-tech job or a high-level job. And what about young people coming into the workforce? A lot of young people, they start off as cashiers and stuff. What about that? So that's what I mean. Like Uranus and Taurus is going to force you to come up with alternative sources of income. All right. So now just a little bit about the last time when Uranus was in Taurus. So the last time Uranus was in Taurus was all the way back in 1934, between 1934 and 1942. So I'm just going to go down a timeline of some of the major events that took place between 1934 and 1942 when Uranus was in Taurus. So in 1934, U.S. Security and Exchange Commission was established. Now, just a little bit about that. So basically, the U.S. Security and Exchange Commission is the independent agency of the United States federal government. The SEC, or SEC, holds primary responsibility for enforcing the federal security laws. Basically, this deals with the regulation of the stock market. Federal security laws, proposing security rules, and regulating the security industry, the nation's stock and options, exchanges, and other activities and organizations. So that very much has to do with money. So that's very much a manifestation of Uranus and Taurus. Also, in 1934, Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl begins causing major ecological and agricultural damage to the Great Plains states. Severe drought, heat waves, and other factors were contributors. So the Dust Bowl, also known as the Dirty 30s, was a period of severe dust storms that greatly damaged the ecology and agriculture of the American and Canadian prairies during the 1930s. All right. The Federal Housing Administration created in 1934, and that was created in part by the National Housing Act of 1934. The FHA sets standards for construction and underwriting and ensures loans made by banks and other private lenders for home building. So again, this deals with Taurus because of the banking industry. The goals of this organization are to improve housing standards, and Taurus deals with standards. The Johnson Act of 1934 prohibited foreign nations in default from marketing their bond issues in the United States, so more money laws or acts. Reciprocal Trade Agreements Act, more about money. In 1934, there was the Indian Reorganization Act. Now, that basically was the U.S. federal legislation that dealt with the state status of Native Americans. It was the centerpiece of what has been often called the Indian New Deal. The major goal was to reverse the traditional goal of assimilation of Indians into American society. So they wanted to reverse the traditional goal of assimilation. So this must have been like when they started like creating a bunch of Indian reservations. All right. There was the Alcoholic Anonymous was founded in 1935. The National Labor Relations Act was created, and that was in 1935. And that basically guarantees basic rights of private sector employees to organize into trade unions. That's so Uranus and Taurus, because Uranus deals with unions. Trade unions engage in collective bargaining for better terms and conditions at work and take collective action, including strike if necessary. Wow, that's very apropos. See what else? Life magazine publishes first issue. United States versus Butler, which ruled that processing taxes instituted under the 1933 Agricultural Adjustment Act were unconstitutional. So agricultural, that's that Uranus and Taurus. Neutrality Acts, 1937, passed by the United States Congress in 1930 in response to the growing turmoil in Europe and Asia that eventually led to World War II. Fair Labor Standards Act was created in 1938. That's self-explanatory. 1939, Nazi Germany invades Poland. World War II begins. So with Uranus in Taurus, we might be looking at World War III, and they've already been talking about it with Trump ordering missiles. Was it overseas? I don't be following this current news because I don't need to be all depressed and stuff like that. But I do follow up with alternative news through some of my YouTube subscriptions. President Roosevelt appearing at the, no, that's not what I wanted to read. It was something else. 1940, Selective Service Act, establishing the first peacetime draft in United States history. That's very much Uranus and Taurus. Alien Registration Act. This is Uranus and Taurus all day because the alien. So probably known as the Smith Act. It is a United States federal statute that was enacted on June 29, 1940. It set criminal penalties for advocating the overthrow of the U.S. government and require all non-citizen adult residents to blah, blah, blah. 1940 U.S. presidential election. Franklin D. Roosevelt wins re-election to a record third term. And as you know, the president is only supposed to serve for two terms. But during Uranus and Taurus, something abnormal happened, and he was able to serve for three. And they shut that down after that. It was like, oh, no. And I believe they used the war as an excuse to do that. 1941, regular commercial television broadcasting begins. NBC television launch. So Uranus deals with technology. And then Taurus deals with the mainstream. So it said regular commercial television broadcasting. So that's basically television reaching the mainstream, being able to be broadcast into homes throughout America and the world and all that. Attack on Pearl Harbor was in 1941, and that caused the U.S. to enter World War II. Japanese-American internment begins. 1942 begins. Per executive order by President Roosevelt, the order also authorizes the seizure of property. That is Uranus and Taurus all day. All right, so that's pretty much it, I think. Congress for Racial Equality, Revenue Act of 1942, Battle of Midway, Guadalcanal Campaign, Office of, okay, that was it. So that is basically what was going down the last time Uranus was in Taurus. So that should give you a clue, at least in terms of government policies and stuff, what could go down with this next ingress of Uranus in Taurus. All right, so let's deal with modern day. So my thoughts. So now I'm going to get a little personal because Uranus in Taurus is really going to affect me because I have my South Node in Taurus, North Node in Scorpio. So I also wanted to say anybody that has strong Scorpio or Taurus energy, you're really going to be affected keenly with this ingress of Uranus into Taurus. So, you know, be prepared. Now, Taurus will probably fare better than Scorpio, but I'll get into that a little more later on down the line. Now, Uranus will land on my fourth house, Taurus South Node, three times while Uranus is in Taurus. So the first time will be June 9th, 2023. So I got a little bit of time. I got 5 years to prepare for the shitstorm that it might create, because we're talking about my South Node here, so I might be reaping some karmic debt with this transit. And then it's going to land on my South Node again on November 23rd, 2023, and then March 29th, 2024. So I pulled a card to represent that, and guess what I got? Five of Swords, the same card that I got pertaining to Uranus and Taurus in general. So when I saw that, and when I'm reading, because I forgot that I pulled that card until now when I read that blog again, and I'm like, shit, oh my God. So now I can really expect some type of shitstorm to happen. But the Five of Swords doesn't always have to be negative, because I've seen it to mean good things. It can mean like a clean sweep, or where you're getting the spoils of a battle, or you're getting all, you can basically get it all, like you are able to get it all. You're basically winning, but that winning or the struggle or what you get may come at a high price. So that could be Five of Swords, or what you gain, you may be like, was it really worth it? Was it really worth the effort and the toil and the struggle? So that, like, actually with the South Node, I mean, with Uranus landing on my South Node, that could be me, like, officially arriving in terms of one of my goals and stuff, but then not being prepared for all that happens, all that comes with it. I'm trying to make it seem better than what it, I'm trying to sugarcoat it, I guess. But anyway, so it's going to hit up my South Node three times, and while it's on my South Node, it will be opposing my North Node in the 10th house, so my career will definitely be impacted, but also my home life and my family life. So this will be very interesting. So that's the one that I'm really concerned about. But then I got some good ones coming up, like Uranus will trine my ascendant three times between 2021 and 2022. So the first time will be May 14th, 2021. Second time will be December 9th, 2021. Third time will be February 26th, 2022. And actually, when I do that, I pull electional charts for all of these transits. So let me just look at the one for Uranus trine ascendant. So the theme for that is relationships, or it could be like a contractual agreement, business partnership, something like that. Where's Venus at? In Aries, sixth house. I'm not going to really spend too much time on it, but so the theme for the first one will be relationships or partnerships, I should say. I know I'm not getting married. That ain't happening. The second one will be organizations, group affiliations. It'll be something very much dealing with my astrological practice, I'll tell you that. It could usher in drastic change. It could be where I develop even more of a following. And I also have an idea what this has to do with too, but I'll keep that to myself. And then the next one is going to deal with communication, writing. Maybe I'll be going on a book tour during that time, because I know by then I'll have some books that I've already published. So that'll be interesting. And then Uranus is going to trine my moon, because my moon and ascendant are in Capricorn. And then, you know, Taurus and Capricorn, they trine in general. So the first theme is home. And it makes sense. Oh, yeah, because Uranus is going to trine my moon. So I might be moving in 2023. I might be moving, and it might be a nice upgrade in terms of my living situation, because it's a trine aspect. So I'm really hoping that. I might actually be traveling outside of the country, too. You never know. And then the theme for the second transit to my moon is going to be assimilation or integration. Also, helping. Also, improvement. Oh, wow. That looks like it might be a book tour, too. Maybe I'll go on two book tours during 2023. It looks like I'll be traveling a lot. And then the last one, it looks like it'll have to do with some type of major change. Maybe I'll be having more presence online. Who knows? But that's just what's going down with me with Uranus and Taurus. So now I'm going to take us through Uranus through the houses. So everybody's going to be affected by this Uranus transit, even if, you know, it's not going to be making any major aspects to your chart, but it will be making a few, because we're talking about a 7 to 8 year time span. Seven, really. So when Uranus will most likely change houses as well, unless you got Taurus intercepted in a house. If you have Taurus intercepted in a house, and you're only going to see this if you use certain house systems, like I use Placidus. So I will, when I pull charts, intercepted signs will often show up. Intercepted signs are basically when a sign is totally in a house and you got two signs flanking that sign. So that means that energy is very significant in your life. So you might have some very significant issues if you have Uranus going to be in Taurus and it's going to stay in the same house the whole time. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, but it depends on, like, the aspects that it will be forming with the other planets and stuff. Now, so the first, Uranus entering the first house or transiting the first house in Taurus, so that could put you at risk of a neck injury, so like whiplash. You could end up getting nerve damage due to some accident or whatever. You could be having stiff necks a lot. If you're doing heavy lifting, that could lead to an injury, so be careful if you're doing heavy lifting, like if you're moving furniture and stuff, because Taurus deals with possessions. It will it'll make it easier to attract money, especially like new sources or alternative sources of income, and it will make it easier to attract followers. So if you have a website, a blog, YouTube channel, and Uranus is transiting your first house, this could be a really good time for you. Also, creating an influential group, a drastic change in terms of your weight or your physical appearance, also being subject to tyrannical measures. So this could be at work. This could be through, like, if you're receiving, like, some government benefits or something, maybe they're cutting back or whatever like that, and that's going to, like, have you hemmed up for a minute. At risk of injury of electric shock, of course, that's going to be rare, but it can happen to some people, especially if they're outside during a lightning storm. And I told you that the weather is going to get even worse. So we might have, I noticed over the years, the lightning storms have gotten really worse, and that's because they keep on messing around with the weather, with the chemtrails and the heart. Like, basically, with the chemtrails, they're spraying metallic particulates in the sky and some other crazy stuff for whatever reason. They claim to block out the sun to prevent, to combat global warming. That's what David Keefe says. So if anybody is still in denial about chemtrails being sprayed in the sky, number one, look up, because you'll be able to see them, you know, every now and then. Some areas are worse than others. Like, I know Philadelphia gets hit hard because I have family in Philadelphia and Jersey, and they tell me that. It seems like the East Coast get hit harder than the West Coast, but I heard that California gets hit pretty hard too. So, like I said, over the past few years, I noticed that the lightning has been getting much more, like, crazier and scarier. So somebody actually could get shocked by lightning, or it could be shocked by an appliance or whatever. If you have Uranus in your first house, just be careful. Also, it could put you at risk of injuring your ankle, your shin, or your calf, because Uranus rules those areas of the body. And also, assuming a different title or role that could take place. Also, you might be bullied. So if you have a child and they're a Taurus rising, or they got Taurus in their first house, they might be going through a tough time because they might be getting bullied. Also, you might turn cold. So you might not be as warm as of a person as you used to be, and that could be because, you know, you've done gotten stepped on or whatever. You could run into an issue with food, and also you could be dealing with an inability to feel settled or at ease or at peace, and you could be feeling this, like you could be on edge. Also, Uranus in the first house could deal with depersonalization, so you could get into a relationship with someone, and that person is basically usurping all your individuality or, you know, independence, where it's like you're depersonalized. Or you can also deal with objectification. So you could get into a relationship where you're being objectified. Second house, Uranus and Taurus in the second house, that could deal with a change of income, of course, or a change in your earning potential. Hopefully it's for the better, but it could be for the worse. Becoming an entrepreneur, problems with direct deposit or wire transfers, changing banks, investing in cryptocurrency, your account is hacked, identity theft, an alternative means of income, receiving unearned income, a change in benefits, an interruption in income, not receiving that which you are entitled, receiving government entitlement program benefits, a need to reevaluate a friendship, breaking the mold, going against your own grain, challenging the status quo, taking a hardline approach, and a drastic change in terms of taste and preferences. Uranus transiting the third house. Inventive and innovative ideas, computer problems, problems with your cell phone, car trouble, a need to be more resourceful. Like, when I say car trouble, because Uranus is in Taurus, you might have to put a lot of money into your car. So you might get to a point where you're like, screw it, I'm going to just, you know, get rid of this car and get a car note. But then you got to be careful with that, because you might get flim-flam the financing and stuff like that. Or there might be some error with the finance. They might call you up, talk about you got to bring that car back and stuff. That happened to me when I bought a car during Venus retrograde. The financing fell through because of the year of the car. They wasn't real willing to take a risk on that year. So I ended up having to take the car back, but I actually got a better car out the deal because it was a newer model and it was much better, a better make and all that. So a change in an environment, or did I say attracting new friends who will challenge your values, standards, ideas, or status quo? And that might be what you need, because Taurus in the third house can result in stagnation in terms of ideas, in terms of your thinking. A change in an environment, taking up a worthy cause, words that stun, shock, or enlighten others, breach a contract, being a rebel rouser, just having weird experiences. Also, amazing synchronicity might take place. Your intuition will become keener. Communion community service. And with Uranus being in Taurus in your third house about intuition, you're really going to need that. But you might be really doubting it because of that Taurus energy, because, you know, Taurus is all about being realistic and practical and stuff like that. But you'll be surprised with Uranus being in your third house in Taurus, you know, the messages that are going to be coming through. So communion, community service, giving back to your community, effective activism within your community. Or it could be online. And then Uranus and Taurus entering the fourth house. Someone is moving in or moving out of your home. This applies for me too. Now Uranus is going to first be in my third house when it enters Taurus. So what I just said is going to apply to me. But also, Uranus is going to enter my fourth house, and my daughter is going to be going away to college this year, and she's going to be living on campus. So I will have an empty nest. So when I said someone is moving in or out of home, for my situation, that's going to be my daughter. Now, a paradigm shift within the home or family takes place, relocating, redecorating, remodeling, putting down new carpeting or flooring, adding new paint, painting your walls a new color, and you might go for a brighter color because we're talking about Uranus. So you might be more, open-minded, and you might be more tolerant of those bolder colors. Like, you know, you go into some people's houses and their walls are all white, and you're like, you know, this house needs a little color. So, you know, your house might get a little color while Uranus is in the fourth house. Also, you might have to replace your air conditioning unit or your furnace. You might be getting new appliances, basically moving on. So it might not just be moving out of the house, but especially if we're talking about young people or if we're talking about, you know, you're in a codependent situation and it's a cohabitation situation, you might actually get the gumption to move on during this time, leaving the nest. A major home repair is needed, and it could be dealing with the wiring or the electrical system. So you could be getting power outages and stuff. People that have Uranus in the fourth house, they could be displaced as a result of a natural disaster, or, you know, you might have a power outage for days because of a terrible storm. So if you live in one of those areas where you know that it's subject to hurricanes and tornadoes, you need to start preparing in advance now, have a contingency plan in place, have an evacuation plan in place. Know where you're going to go if in the event that you happen to be evacuated because of a bad storm. Also, what can happen is someone is wearing out their welcome, getting in over your head in terms of rent payments or a mortgage, being at risk of eviction or foreclosure, a problem with your father or another family member. But I should mention this. You could get a good deal on a purchase of a home, such as you entering a first-time home buyers program, or let's say you purchase a home that's on sheriff's sale, so you get it at a really good price. Also, a problem with your father or another family member, family strife, a big family reunion, getting a good deal on the purchase of, oh, I already said that, a change in immigration status. All right, so Uranus and Taurus entering the fifth house or transiting the fifth house, displaying a huge sense of entitlement, an entitled, spoiled, or rebellious child. So get your kids. Just like I always said with my Chiron and Aries meme, I was like, if you got Chiron and Aries in the fifth house, I was like, get your kids, because your kids could be acting a fool around that time. Or, you know, something tragic could happen, like they, you know, fall and get a concussion, especially like if you got, now I'm talking about Chiron and Aries, but I was just thinking, like, if you have Chiron and Aries and it's transiting your fifth house and you got a kid that's in sports, or, you know, they're just naturally rambunctious and they're daredevils and they like to take chances, that could be around the time where that child ends up in a hospital with some broken bones or stuff. So you got to tell them, with Chiron being in either your fifth house or let's say it's transiting their first house or whatever like that, that's where you got to tell them, look, you got to be careful, because you get really hurt. But the same with Uranus. With Uranus in the fifth house, a child could, you know, mess around and hurt themselves or whatever like that. They could, a serious issue like a broken neck even. Like, I'm talking, like, this is some serious stuff. So I'm just not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to get you well informed just so you know all the ins and outs, the possible manifestations. some will be good, some will be bad, some will be horrible, some will be absolutely great, like, you know, opportunities of a lifetime. Now, also with Uranus in the fifth, there's a chance that somebody could win the lottery or a substantial win at the casino because Uranus is a magnet. Now, also you could go somewhere where you receive carte blanche service. Like, basically, you could do, like, it's a free-for-all. You got, like, your pick of anything that you could absolutely hope for. Also, a surprise pregnancy could take place because Uranus brings surprises and shocks. Also, pregnancy, a pregnancy is achieved after a long period of trying, so that could come as a surprise as well. Like, you know, you and your husband, you've been trying for years to get pregnant, and then finally Uranus is in your fifth house, boom, you get pregnant. But it could be an at-risk pregnancy, so you got to be careful. Also, finding out that you're pregnant with twins, triplets, etc., because again, Uranus deals with that which is abnormal, that which is unusual, things that could come to you by surprise or as a shock. So, you know, you could be getting that ultrasound. Next thing you know, the doctor's like, hold up, I see two fetuses. And then artificial insemination could take place if you're having trouble getting pregnant. Gaining full custody of a child could happen, or being triumphant in a custody case, shared custody arrangements, being hyper-indulgent or hedonistic, sexual experimentation, sexual rebellion, going gay. Now, of course, I'm being funny, but this could be the time where somebody comes to the realization that, hey, I'm gay, you know, I like dick, and I'm a dude, I'm gay. Or I like coochie and I'm a female. I must be a lesbian. So that could be, that could happen. They like a person could have their first homosexual experience with Uranus entering Taurus in their but that could have happened if Uranus was already in their fifth house and they got Aries in the fifth. It could have happened back when Uranus was in Aries. So and then with Uranus in Taurus, it could be the normalization stage. Like, okay, now I'm becoming really comfortable with being gay. You know, I'm developing self-worth because of that. Now, you know, I don't feel so odd or abnormal because now I have experience in that area. Sexual rebellion is another one. Oh, I already said that. Group sex could take place. So you could get into a polyamorous affair or polyamorous romance. Like I said, orgies, group sex, becoming less distinguished. See, my sister just got here and she was like, I knew she wasn't going to be done, but I'm about to be done right now. I just got to get through this. I just got to get through the 12 houses, Ava. I'm on house number 5. I'm going to speed it up. So becoming less distinguished, joining a recreational group, random sexual encounters, attracting perverts, perversity. Sixth house. Change in terms of your line of work, duties, or work environment. Heavy lifting can lead to injury, so it's kind of like the first house. Being diagnosed with a rare disease or a disorder, a misdiagnosis, a malady that is difficult to diagnose, developing a disorder of the throat, larynx, or esophagus, an unpredictable schedule, a change in routine, things fall apart, receiving help comes at a high price, being integrated into a new system or a way of life. Could be as a result of a job change or relocation, because in terms of relocation, that sixth house is very significant. And also an overhaul of the system or program, be a dietary or fitness program, when Uranus is in Taurus and it's in your seventh house. So contemplating a separation or divorce, reevaluating a relationship or marriage, your partner or spouse begins to change out of the blue, a partner or spouse is out of work, divorce settlement process, so undergoing the divorce settlement process, divorce decree, child or spousal support adjustments, winning a legal settlement, changing your social connections or scene to be more aligned with your values, or you might be acquiring new values or changing your values as a result of a new social scene or whatever, getting married to a friend, getting married for convenience or money, social activity increases, joining a group that requires in-person or active participation, such as a community gardening project. And then when Uranus is in Taurus and it's going to be in your eighth house, you could be asked out in terms of money quite a bit. Financial woes, bankruptcy is possible, a sudden or unexpected financial loss, the loss of benefits, being dropped from your insurance provider, and that could be because you got into an accident or whatever. Your insurance rates are increased significantly, damage to property at the hands of someone, being tempted to be unfaithful, the end of a friendship, the death of a friend, and it might become sudden and unexpected, an injury to the ankle, shin, or calf, nerve damage, at risk of miscarriage, bouts of constipation, a long period of abstinence, whether that's voluntary or involuntary, perversity, usurpation, the destruction of the status quo, being entitled to a partner or spouse's money, perhaps via death or divorce, being approved for government benefits like SSI, SSDI, unemployment compensation, withdrawing from your 401k and getting hit with the penalty, problems with an inheritance, at risk for throat infections, at risk for food poisoning that can produce violent retching. Ninth house. Ninth house, when Uranus is in Taurus and it's in the ninth, you could deal with a change in terms of your religion or your spiritual belief system. This could deal with, if you're in college, you might be changing your major. You could be dealing with difficulty with getting through customs if you are traveling to another country. And it could be because of some type of possession that you have. So the TSA could be usurping your possession. You know, like if you have certain things, like bottles of perfume and it's too big or something. And it could be a cherished possession that they take. So be careful what you bring with you to the airport. Having to travel far on an emergency, the faith, being at risk of joining a cult-like group. If you listen to my episode on cults, and I related cults to Taurus. So Uranus and Taurus could deal with joining a cult-like group. Learning astrology or some other metaphysical discipline. Taking my astrology course. Now, I do offer astrology classes, so this is a time where I'm just going to have to give myself a little plug. So if anybody's interested in taking any of my astrology courses, especially if you've got Uranus and Taurus in your ninth house, hit me up. You can either go to my website and enroll right away if you, you know, already know you want to do it, and if you already like my style and you like what I do, and if you want to, you know, be the type of astrologer I am. I just now added the astrology courses to my service offerings, where you can just click and purchase it right away. And that was one of the solutions I came up with today, thanks to my sister that has been motivating me to evolve. So, again, if anybody's interested in taking any of my classes, I currently have, I think I have four students right now. I have two students. No, I have one student that just completed their course, and she's actually my apprentice, and I'm going to bring her on the Ace of Cups radio show for the next episode because she's a Taurus, and so for Taurus season, I'm going to have her do her thing because she's really good, and I'm so proud of her because she was such a great student. I got another Scorpio student, and she is real good too. So, yeah, get in on it. If you really want to learn astrology, especially if you want to become a professional at it, I can, you know, show you everything that I know, not just on an astrological level, but on a professional level, like how to get started and how to develop a presence online and all that good stuff. Now, also, Uranus in the ninth house, you could run into some legal expenses due to a court case or what have you. You could be involved in a labor union strike if you have a job and you belong to a labor union. And this could deal with, the labor union strike could deal with an issue over salaries or a benefit package, which is usually the reason for strikes. And Uranus and Taurus entering the 10th house, or if it's already in the 10th house, but it enters Taurus while it's in the 10th, this could deal with a change in career path. Usually it's not just going to be a change in jobs, it's going to be an actual change of career paths, or where you're going to be doing something that's drastically different than what you were doing before. Also, changing careers to one that runs counter to your values, that can happen. It can run counter to your value standards, or where you're compromising your values or standards for the sake of fulfilling a mission at work or for a larger cause. Joining a labor union so you can get a job where you belong to a labor and now you got to pay dues because Uranus is in Taurus. And some of them dues are kind of hefty. I remember my other sister, she used to belong to a labor union at her old job, and they were taking out dues but other stuff as well. And she was just telling me, like, I think like 30% of her check was going to the union dues and all that stuff, I think. But anyway, so a change in a change in labor union dues could take place with Uranus and Taurus in the 10th house. An issue with your mother could arise. Attracting more job opportunities is possible. An opportunity of a lifetime could be presented to you. Being terminated, but with a severance package, because Uranus is in Taurus. Being approved for government entitlement benefits. you hear me say this a lot because Uranus is in Taurus, and Uranus is the entitlement piece, and the benefits would be Taurus, of course. And then acquiring a licensing deal. So if you have an invention, if you have some innovation, you created something, this will be your time to shop around for a licensing deal so you could get that residual income. Also, going into business, entrepreneurship, creating an app that becomes a major seller. So if anybody has an idea for an app or any type of technological invention or anything like that, and Uranus is in your 10th house, this is the time to put it out there. 11th house. When Uranus is in Taurus and it's going to be in your 11th house, you could be unfriending people on social media, like on Facebook, left and right. And this could be due to a conflict of values or where these friends, you find that they're below your standard. Also, there could be a need to reevaluate a friendship. Also, you might be more resolute than usual, like you're not, nobody's going to get you to change your mind. And also, you could be more unforgiving. You could be more rigid, tyrannical. Also, you might be entitled to money or possession that you don't earn. And you could be receiving special benefits, perks, or privileges, and this could come to your job. Maybe you'll get a promotion, and next thing you know, you're entitled to certain privileges or perks that you didn't get before. Be more experimental with food, refusing to compromise in terms of standards or quality. Joining a group or association requires a significant expense, such as an annual registration fee, or like if you join a country club, you know, you got to pay those, like the annual fee, and then you got to pay dues every month. Being inventive, innovative, technological upgrades, web-based solutions, creating a website, social media group or page, starting an online business. And then last but not least, we have the 12th house. So when Uranus is in Taurus and it's going to be in your 12th house, that could deal with being very impressionable to a cult-like leader or a spiritual group. So again, like I said, with Taurus being that cult leader or Taurus representing cults because of that whole indoctrination thing and all that stuff, with Uranus and Taurus being in your 12th house, that makes you very impressionable. And you're not going to feel that they're like a cult, you know, at face value. And that can cause you to basically just take things at face value and be fine with it, and then you find out later that you done shot yourself in the foot, you done gave a bunch of money away, you done donated money to a fraudulent charity or to a fraudulent person like that has a GoFundMe account. All this can happen with Uranus and Taurus in the 12th house. So you could be receiving a retirement package if you're of the older group. Also, you could be cashing out your 401k or some other retirement benefit. You are more at risk for developing a throat infection, just like with Uranus in the 8th. But this one could require hospitalization or a significant time out from work, so you could get a bad case of strep throat. Financial insulation through the receipt of a lump sum of money. So again, let me repeat that because I kind of stumbled. Financial insulation. Because when Taurus is in the 12th house, that could be financial insulation. Like, you're insulated from the threat of poverty. So through the receipt of a lump sum of money, ill-gotten fortune, death at the hands of a friend, associate, or acquaintance, reality checks, being in need of resuscitation or a defibrillator. So, you know, when they try to jumpstart your heart with those electric shocks, I'm dead serious. Somebody might really go through a situation like this where they lose consciousness and they're trying to, like, CPR is needed, first aid, whatever like that, because the 12th house is no joke. Also, you could be at risk of food poisoning, just like the 8th. Shooting yourself in the foot where money is concerned. Like I said, just taking things at face value and not really doing your due diligence. Being penny-wise and pound foolish. That basically means that you're being all concerned about small expenses at the expense of major expenses. Like, you're not really having the foresight to think, okay, I might be saving money in the short term, but in the long run, I'm gonna have to spend big. Case in point, like, I'm not even gonna talk about that. Anyway, be a suckered into a bad deal that leads to financial loss, issues with your self-esteem, a so-called friend preys upon your weakness, shocking dreams, nightmares that seem all too real or that pretend future events, and you could be investing in cryptocurrency, but you could mess around and end up losing a lot of money. So that's my take on Uranus and Taurus through the houses. Hopefully, you know, it won't be too bad for most of us. But again, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. That's the best thing I can leave you with Uranus and Taurus. And then just real quick before I close out,
Like I said, people who have strong Taurus energy, especially Taurus sun, moon, and ascendant, and the same with people with strong Scorpio energy, that would be Scorpio sun, moon, or ascendant, you're going to be especially impacted with Uranus and Taurus. People with Uranus and Taurus, it will be more so about entitlement, magnetism, elevation, respite, where like you might be able to get some downtime, and you might be able to get some money that enables you to get some downtime. Achievement of goals, settlement, that could be some type of financial settlement coming to you. And then Uranus and Taurus, matter of fact, I know what that Uranus on my south node might deal with. No, that's too much far into the future. That's not, my bad, I digress. So Uranus and Taurus for Scorpio, so it's going to be more painful naturally because we're talking about an opposition. So prepare for some type of separation, detachment. You're going to be in need of some alternatives and disruptions. So that is my show for tonight. As you heard, my sister came in talking about, I knew she wasn't going to be done. But that's what Scorpio does. They put that fire under your butt. Or I shouldn't say fire. They lean on you so that you can continue to become a better person. So, again, shout out to my sister for really helping me to evolve. And I'm sorry I couldn't open up the phone lines, but I got to go. Dinner is waiting for me. Like I said, I haven't ate, and I'm hungry as hell. And we are going to Lolo's, which is this soul food restaurant, and they got chicken and waffles. It's called Lolo's Chicken and Waffles. If you ever make it out to Phoenix, you need to go to Lolo's Chicken and Waffles because, oh, my God, I'm just thinking about it right now. So I'm signing off so I can get my chicken and waffles and my mac and cheese and my collard greens. And they got some corn fritters that I can't wait to sink my teeth into. So let me just leave you guys with an outro song. And I'm out. So peace and many blessings. Stay tuned for the next episode that will take place in 2 weeks.